Welcome to POP, the sermon podcast for Peace Lutheran Church in Gahanna, with Pastors Doug Warburton and Tony Katko.
So we continue this series that we started last week called Walk the Walk, and we're focusing on the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus. A lot of scholars believe this actually went to a lot of different churches that Paul was responsible for kind of launching. But the church of Ephesus, keep this in mind, was a Gentile church. So it's a group of people that's kind of surprising that they want to follow in the ways of Jesus. And so I'll pick up chapter 2. Feel free to follow along on whatever device you follow along on. But Ephesians chapter 2. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So as I was thinking through this passage this week, I thought what came to mind is self-worth struggles. Self-worth struggles. As a pastor, and I'm sure you see this, whether you yourself are going through some self-worth struggles or you see it in your kids or friends or wherever your life takes you, I'm going to guess you can see people struggling with self-worth. It strikes me that we live in a time where we wrestle with this more than any time I can remember. And it led me to thinking, how did we get to this point? And somehow I got to thinking back in terms of these things that we used to call magazines. Have you heard of these? There used to be these things, some of you may not remember this, that existed called magazines. And I was thinking of the path in which magazine titles have gone from, like, my high school days. Like, I can remember in high school some of the big magazine titles that we had. Time, Life, National Geographic, although not always for the right reasons. But then as time went on a little bit, some of those magazine titles shifted, and maybe in the 80s or so, 90s, we found magazines that were popular like Glamour, Cosmopolitan. Sometimes I was guilty of buying GQ. I never did look like the people in GQ, but I might have tried. But then go into the 90s and even a little bit later, and some of the magazines shifted to You and Self became big magazines. Now, as I was thinking this week, I thought, well, what happened to magazines? What happened? This is where you talk. The internet, of course. Now, I know magazines still exist. Some of you may still subscribe to something here and there, but for the most part, magazines have become almost non-existent because you can find everything on the internet. And so if we were to, the interesting thing is now we're all content creators, and that's what we, instead of spending time reading someone else's thoughts, ideas, or perspectives, now we're reading each other's ideas, thoughts, and perspectives, and thinking if we were to call this a magazine, it might be called Me. Me, because that's what we put out. We put out content about ourselves. And it strikes me, as I was thinking about this week, it strikes me as an interesting thing that we struggle more with self-worth ever than before, and yet at the same time, we're pushing out our self-worth more than ever before. Don't you find that an interesting thought? We're putting more about ourselves out there, and yet we're struggling more about ourselves. Why is this? Now, I'm going to raise my hand and admit that I'm as guilty as anybody. I love to put things on the internet and get clicks. I love it. And so April 1st, I did a little thing. Some of you may have seen this. Go ahead, put it on the screen here. No, next one, sorry. There you are. Some of you may have seen this. For those of you who didn't, April Fool's joke. Got together with Laura Strickland, our chief design catalyst here at Peace, and we said that due to the success of Pub Theology, we at Peace have decided to purchase Coach's Bar and Pizza and call it Doug's Mugs. Now, here's why I bring this up. This is the number one post Peace did this year. By far the number one post. It got shared on Gehenna in the Know. It got many shares, thousands of likes. And then the people that were most disappointed and angry at me, and I love a good joke because it means someone gets a little angry at me and then regrets getting angry at me. But the people that were most angry were the people that found out it wasn't true. Now, here's why I bring this up, because at one point, I have to admit, I kind of like the clicks. I kind of take a little pride in the fact that I put something out there that so many people thought was interesting. But then at the other point, where I struggle with this is the fact that we also at Peace try to put out a lot of serious things that help you grow in your faith life. And those are way down the list in terms of how much you like it. And so I wrestle with, okay, what is it about me, first, that loves the attention, but also wonders why some of the more important things don't get so much attention? And then it also led me to thinking, what about the more serious internet struggles? I mean, I know you, if you don't participate, your family does, and sitting and doing the swipe thing, spending your time doing this. I like to think when my family comes together and I see them all in our living room and everyone in the room's doing this, I like to try to sit back and take the moral high ground and not get on my device, but then I get bored because everyone else is so I start doing it too. But there's this thing in it that really does, and I know you've probably wrestled with this too. What is it about needing that dopamine fix? And having that power that we have, whatever social media platform you're on, having that power to bestow your love, like, or to deny it. Nope. Next. It gives us a sense of control and power, but then even take that further with some of the comments that we see on social media, and we talk about this all the time. Comments of my political party is better. You are an evil person because you don't think this, or being able to shame other people. Maybe it's because we don't know them, but it's still actual people saying, sometimes not actual people, but often actual people saying hurtful things. And I've seen it in some, especially in our younger people, how it affects their self-esteem. They're shamed by how they look what they think or how they act. And so it leaves us in this desert of self-worth struggles. Now, I know that there are some of you, I know that there are some of you sitting here going, well, that's why I am not on social media. Taking your moral high ground, I would caution you, there is a parable that Jesus tells that he says, the Pharisee says, well, thank God I'm not like the tax collector. It's all where we find our self-worth, and let me throw out a word we don't often like to say, it's all sin. It's all sin. Not in the sin of making bad choices and you're an evil person kind of sin, but a sin of where do we find our self-worth? If we're looking for it in culture and online or in the world, trying to find our own self-worth there, it's all sin. And here's why I think it's important. Because if that's where we're looking to find it, we're always going to be disappointed. You may get that momentary dopamine fix, but it goes away quickly. And that's where we come to Paul today. Because I sense in this reading that we read and elsewhere in Paul's letters, he's got this excitement about something that he's discovered, and he's dying to share it. And that's what his letters are all about. He's dying to share that he has discovered where true self-worth can be found, and he wants you to know it as well. And so we open this passage today with this verse. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived. He's talking about the fact that you're looking for your self-worth in all these crazy places. You're walking down the wrong street. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world. Now that word following, you'll see I've highlighted, is this Greek word peripateo. And it literally means to walk. And so he's saying, you were walking this way, but now you get to walk a different way and find a new reality. Now, this is different, and this is way more, and I want you to hear this. This is way more than making good moral choices. That's not what Paul's getting at. It's way more than that. I mentioned Laura Strickland, our chief design catalyst, and we've shared here before, and maybe you've met her daughter, Mallory. She's a cheerleader for Purdue and happened to be at the Final Four and was all excited and was sharing pictures with us because Purdue was in the Final Four. And so when they won that first game, I sent her a text and I said, make good choices. And I could almost feel from afar her going, I don't need my old bald pastor telling me to make good choices. And she wrote me back right away, which I was surprised. She wrote me back, duh. This is way more, though, than making good choices. That's not what Paul's saying. He's saying by finding your true identity, you get to walk into a new reality. Paul talks about how he got to do it in 1 Corinthians. He says, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Don't you just sense the joy of the fact that he once was walking in a certain direction and now he gets to walk into a new reality knowing who he is because he's been given a gift from God. And he sees it truly as this gift. And then he goes on and he says, but it didn't just stop with me. It wasn't just a gift given to me. God also gave that gift to these Gentiles, he writes in his letters. These Gentiles who have no idea what they are doing. You should see these dorks. But yet, they've been given the gift of being able to walk into this new identity. And he even goes on to say, there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free. There's not even male or female anymore. Because all of us have been given this gift. And it's by grace that this gift is the only, it provides us with the only self-worth that counts. The self-worth of knowing we're loved. That's a new reality. Martin Luther says it like this: therefore, sinners are attractive to God because they are loved. They are not loved by God because they are attractive. It's good news for me. Therefore, sinners are attractive to God because they are loved. They are not loved by God because they are attractive. Now I want to make some of you, if you're a lifelong Lutheran, I'm going to make you nervous right now. Here's a warning. Because as lifelong Lutherans, we love to focus on this gift of grace. And rightly so, it's huge. And it's not by works. It's by God's own grace that we are saved and loved by God. But Pastor Tony and I were doing this Bible study, mentioned it last week, from the Bible Project. And in it, the teacher was talking about, and he had read this author that is, I've looked him up and it's sensational, but he was talking about the fact that in the ancient world, a gift was seen a little bit different than we see it in today's Western culture. We kind of have the idealistic attitude of we give a gift, no strings attached. That's a gift. Sometimes, let's face it, we have a little bit of strings attached. We don't give a gift at Christmas without hoping that we're getting something, right? But in the ancient world, this wasn't quite the case. When you gave a gift, it was a way of saying, I give you this, but I do have a certain level of reciprocity because I want a relationship with you. So you gave a gift, but it did have a little bit of attachment saying, I hope that this means that we have a relationship, that it means something to you like it does to me. And so think about that in terms of the gift that has been given to us. God, it's not that God says, you know, I hope you just take this and run. God has a hope that we receive this gift and then live into it with this understanding of our new identity. And so I want to reread 8 through 10. Now listen to these words with this understanding. Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. You didn't earn this. For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Now that word way there is the same word I showed you earlier. Peripateo. It's walking. You have been saved by God's grace. You didn't earn it, but now you get to walk in it. You get to live in this new reality of your new identity. This is a gift given to us by God. And now I picture Jesus. I mean, picture Jesus when we think about this word peripateo and walking. And it made me think of Jesus encountering the crippled man at the pool of Siloam. This man who had been for how many years just living there, hoping to be healed, could not walk. And Jesus encounters him and after a conversation says to this man, take up your mat and walk. Now picture this man with his brand new identity given to him as a gift from God. I picture this man did not go straight home, jump on the couch and watch Netflix. This man, I picture, lived a life into this new reality of what he'd been given. It's almost like when we have baptisms and we light that candle and we hand it to the family of whoever is sponsoring the child, or if it's an adult, we hand it to them, and we say these words. Do you know what they are? Yes. I'm so thrilled that three of you know it. Yes. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to our God in heaven. It's this beautiful response where you get to live with self-worth in knowing this new reality. So your self-worth is not determined by your successes. Your self-worth is not determined by your failures. It's not determined by other people's opinions of you, even those closest to you. It's not determined by how you look in a bathing suit, and it's not determined by how you change algorithms on your social media pages. None of that determines your self-worth. So I want to close today with a little bit of our own Lutheran liturgy. Now, we don't often do this, but sometimes we do, and we do confessions in all sorts of different ways here at Peace, but this one's straight out of the old hymn book, and I wanted to point out the last sentence, because we confess, it's a way of saying, all right, I know I've messed up throughout life, but it's way deeper than that. It's I've searched out self-worth often in all the wrong places, and then at the end, I think it's so important, these words I've highlighted. We know that you restore us and renew us every day, and so we want to delight in your will, and we want to walk, peripateo, in your ways. How can we not when we've been given this whole new identity? And so let's share this confession in closing today. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, may you know that in God you have been given the opportunity to walk into a new reality. Amen.